In a world where uncertainty reigns supreme, where shadows of chaos dance at every turn, one truth emerges unyielding. Preparation is not a luxury, but a lifeline. Behold the Wellness Company, a beacon of readiness amidst the tempestuous seas of fate. Envision a sanctuary of tranquility, where the tumult of unforeseen medical crises finds no purchase. The Wellness Company's Medical Emergency Kit stands as a bastion of assurance, a fortress of resilience against the unseen foes of health. Within its sacred confines lie the tools of salvation. Ivermectin, to ward off the insidious whispers of disease. Emergency antibiotics, to quell the raging storms of infection. Antivirals, to vanquish the relentless tides of contagion, and more. The Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit is not merely a collection of supplies, it is the embodiment of preparedness itself. Crafted by the hands of esteemed healers led by luminaries such as Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Harvey Risch, and Dr. Drew Pinsky, this kit stands as the pinnacle of safety, the zenith of prevention. These truth-seeking doctors have forged a testament to vigilance, a testament to the unwavering pursuit of well-being. Embrace the certainty that comes from being armed against adversity. Embrace the Wellness Company, for in its embrace lies the promise of resilience, the promise of a brighter tomorrow amidst the chaos of today. Don't wait for the next crisis to strike. Visit twc.health/strangeplanet and use promo code STRANGEPLANET for an exclusive 10% discount. Prepare today and rest easy tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Intuit, the technology platform that brings financial confidence with products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. You might have learned the recorder in school, but probably not how to navigate the financial world. Luckily, Intuit's on a mission to help with the free Intuit for Education program. It provides students with the lessons to learn essential skills, like how to build credit, file taxes, and budget. Check out their free resources at intuit.com/education.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Richard Serrett's Strange Planet, following the truth wherever it leads, exposing evil and corruption and the secret machinations of powerful elites, revealing the high strangeness beneath the surface of our supposed reality, coming to you from the Great White North and his studio beneath the stairs. Here's Richard.
Dr. Shiv Chopra has a PhD in microbiology. He's the recipient of numerous academic awards, including a fellowship of the World Health Organization. Good evening, Dr. Chopra. How are you?
Good evening. Thank you very much.
Let's begin with a definition, a genetically modified organism. What is it exactly?
Genetically modified organisms are any type of cell, bacteria, human, any species, where you modify its DNA by injecting DNA from another species. And then you select whatever characteristic you want. And so it's across the species, which doesn't happen in nature. In nature, within the species, those organisms can interbreed, but they cannot cross the species barrier. That is the law of nature, God, if you like. That's the way it's supposed to work. Because if it didn't work that way, the whole existence will collapse. So DNA of every species is what defines a species. If you go across the DNA, then you have a disaster.
All right. Is there anything in principle wrong with trying to improve, let's concentrate on food crops, for example, either for a livestock feed or for human consumption? In principle, is there anything wrong with trying to enhance, let's say, the nutritional value of a particular foodstuff by genetically altering it?
Well, there's nothing wrong in doing anything. That's the way technology works, the science works. We are always trying to find out how we can work with nature, sometimes to cure disease or improve situations. Let's just get away from genetically modified, the technical name that we're using. There is crossbreeding. For example, you can take a cow, which is what people did 6,000 years ago, and they bred it in a sense that the cows produced more milk. Normally, the cow will produce just enough milk for his calf, but the people trained it to give more milk. You can take a horse, you can make it run faster and faster, and various things like that. You can take by interbreeding, but you're remaining within the species. If you cross the species, even closely related species, for example, you can interbreed a donkey and a horse, and then you get a mule. And that mule is sterile. It's called a hybrid. Mule cannot produce another mule, nor a donkey, nor a horse. So it's the dead end point, and that's the way it works because those are very closely related species. But what we're doing here is you're taking the gene or DNA from one species and putting it into another. For example, you can take a gene from a bacteria and you put it into crops. And bacteria is called Bacillus thuringiensis, long technical name, just let's call it BT. You can take this bacteria, lives in the soil, and it produces some kind of a poison to protect itself against other species or to find food. For example, this bacteria will attack certain insects for its own food, and it will slit its intestinal system inside, and it feeds on it. Now, what companies have done, companies like Monsanto, they've taken this bacteria and they've taken this gene and they have now put that gene, BT, into corn or into cotton or soybean, and therefore they're called BT.
So they're producing their own pesticide.
Exactly.
Right.
But the problem here is, now the whole plant is producing, bacteria is one single cell or a few bacteria in the soil. But now you've got these crops, huge plants, cotton the size of trees, corn, big plants, and miles after miles after miles, all producing toxin that the bacteria was supposed to produce. This toxin is now coming out constantly into the soil. It's not just killing the pest that goes and sits on the plant. It's also killing whatever else is in the soil. That's the kind of disaster that is happening with BT, because now you're killing earthworms, you're killing insects, you're killing beetles and ants and all those organisms that help the soil to produce food. This is the kind of... Similarly, you can take a gene of a cow and put it into bacteria. Now, it's the other way around. And the cow's, let's say there's a hormone that induces milk production in the cow. If you take that gene, put it into E. coli bacteria, now that bacteria thinks it's a cow. Now it becomes a factory for producing the bovine growth hormone, and they call it recombinant, or in other words, genetically modified. Now what the companies are saying, let's take this hormone produced in the bacteria, let's give injections of it to the cows every 2 weeks, and we'll produce 10% more milk from the cow. Now, this we definitely know. What happened with that studies were done, they were asked for, I won't go into the full details. They're all described in my book, what happened. That the cows got sick. Cows got milk, pus in the milk. Cows got infected in their udders, mammary glands, bacteria, and then they had to be given antibiotics. And then the cows also produce another hormone. It's called insulin-like growth factor. And that causes, or at least associated with increased in cancer in people.
Let me just stop you there, Dr. Chopra. We're coming up on a break. Let me just ask you a very quick question and give me a, is this milk currently in production in Canada, in the United States, is it being consumed by humans in North America?
Well, it is not produced in Canada because it was not approved, this product. When I blew the whistle back in 1997, this created a big scandal. There was a Senate investigation. I was called to testify.
The primary food crops that are being genetically modified, there are five principal, as I understand. Could you name those crops?
There's canola, there's corn, there's soybean, there's now alfalfa, there's beetroot, there's a bunch of crops. Wheat is not yet, but yet it's been shown that it was secretly even released and tested and so on. We don't know. But the major crops, which are already approved, they are out there.
Okay, and papaya, I believe, is also genetically
modified. Papaya.
Why? What would they do with papaya? What is the purpose there?
Well, you know, the purpose in every case, from the company's point of view, is to somehow create a product and put a patent on it and own it and decide what the people can buy or not buy. And it's control over food supply.
But are they enhancing, in their mind, are they increasing the nutritional value, the yield of the papaya? Are they adding? What are they doing specifically?
Not at all.
No.
Nothing of the kind is happening. It's contrary of what the company is claiming. Those are all lies. They've now got apple that won't brown. So most of these crops are also, like we talked about BT, but the big culprit here is a product called Roundup.
Roundup Ready Plants, yes, Roundup Ready Plants. You need to explain what that's all about.
That's right, because the company has had patented that Roundup back in the 60s as an antibiotic. They were hoping they will use it as an antibiotic because it's produced by a bacteria, and it didn't seem to be too toxic. But then they used that Roundup to now make the crops resistant to Roundup. Now, Roundup is a pesticide that kills absolutely anything green. It takes a couple of weeks for it to do so. And then they clean up the whole soil, spray it. Everything is gone. No weeds, no greenery, nothing left in the field. Then the farmer comes in and he just puts in whatever crop that is genetically modified. And then as it starts to grow, then they come back with the same Roundup and they spray it again. And this is how it began.
In other words, if I could just stop you just to make it clear to listeners, if you create a plant that is resistant to Roundup, then you can go in and spray the Roundup indiscriminately in order to get rid of the weeds and other things around the plants. But the plant is still absorbing that Roundup, is it not?
Oh, of course. I mean, Roundup has now gone into – that's how Roundup kills a plant. It goes into the system of the plant. That's why it's called a systemic herbicide. It gets into the plant, and down below – It ties up certain chemicals or metals or food for the crop, and therefore it takes a couple of weeks for it to the plant to die. Now, what they've done here, if you make a crop that you want and you don't want the weeds, so you make that resistant artificially, genetically modified. And now you can put any amount of Roundup, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times or whatever number of times. Initially, the idea was to put just 2 applications, one before and one after. And then they saw weeds were growing and bigger weeds. So now farmers are putting as much as sometimes 7 sprays. And then to make it even worse, the same Roundup is even used, whether it's on GMO crops or not, to dry the crops at the end of the season. And so Roundup can be put on any crop. It could be wheat, it could be rice, anything which is not approved. And the crop quickly dries up and the farmer gets the seed. Now imagine so many applications have been put there. And then finally, this is, you can't even, you're not waiting for rain. You're not going to wash this seed now. It's all over the place. And this Roundup is now, after all these years, people have been doing studies. They say that it can cause cancer, and it can cause all sorts of other things.
And there are human studies that have shown this, or is this anecdotal evidence?
No, there are experiments, human study. I mean, you can't do studies in humans, but in animal studies, of course, it's been shown to cause tumors, to cause rashes, and even death in animals. And so that happens. But you can't do a study like that in humans. But what does happen, though, over a period of time, if this product has been used for now several decades, bizarre things are happening out there in people.
Are we finding Roundup in breast milk, for example?
We're finding Roundup in breast milk. We're finding in urine. So that's an indication that it is being absorbed and excreted and secreted. So it, in the body fluids. So it is going through the system. As it goes through the system, there is in our intestinal tract, in humans and animals, there is trillions of healthy bacteria living in our gut.
Yes.
Those bacteria help us digest protein. They make synthesize certain amino acids, which we don't. Synthesize some vitamins. They steal some food. That's the kind of symbiotic relationship that in nature has evolved. So you live with each other. Bacteria, you help bacteria, bacteria help you. What happens is, with this Roundup, and there are other things, of course, I mean, we can talk about that. Right now, we're only talking about GMOs and pesticides, but there are, in addition, there are antibiotics too, being fed and injected into animals. So what's happening with all this is that this whole system in the body is called microbiome. It's an organ by itself. Our immune system depends on the intestinal tract. In the tiny little appendix is the most essential organism in the body for the immune system. So what's happening is that you are killing those bacteria. And once you kill those bacteria, it sets up inflammation in the intestinal tract. Now you can get, people are getting gluten intolerance, people are getting allergies, people are getting autism, people are getting cancer. When you start seeing things which were uncommon before, 50, 60 years ago, very uncommon, now are becoming epidemics. And so therefore, at this point, you have to, even if you made a mistake, even if you said, okay, we'll try it out. Now you've done it for 50 or 60 years and now crops for the last 20 years. Now we know things are happening. You cannot keep on lying that nothing, that's not related. That's not, but what is the advantage? Who are we doing it for? Why is the company being allowed to do what it's doing without testing, because there's a law in the country. There's a law in the United States. There's a law in Canada. This law is called the Food and Drugs Act in both countries. It is now 120 years old. Initially, back in 1895, it was called the Adulteration Act. At that time, the thought was that you cannot mix two products, and because people were putting alcohol and turpentine and making drugs and syrups and things like that, and killing people. And then, as a result of it, the countries, in their wisdom, they passed the Adulteration Act. That went on from 1895 to about 1938, when somebody thought of taking a pill, sulfonamide pill, which was very hard to, there used to be large pills, and they could not be dissolved in water, and children in particular, they were awful things to swallow to control infections. And so somebody thought, well, maybe I'll take the sulfonamide and dissolve it in a solvent and then put some syrup or sugar in it, and then children can drink it. What happened? 100 Americans died. And then when they went back and they found how come they died from drinking this stuff that normally wasn't killing, but what happened in the syrup? Then they discovered that the fellow, whoever the company was, they had used ethylene glycol, which is the windshield wiper fluid.
Oh, dear.
It's extremely toxic. And so, as a result, then the U.S. and Canada followed immediately. In 1945, they said every product has to be tested in living animals.
Right. Listen, we've only got about 2 minutes here. Time is moving quickly, Dr. Chopra, and we won't have time to get into the entire history of the FDA and Health Canada. When we come back, I want to find out then how many of these products seem to get almost rubber stamped or almost without FDA approval being needed. We'll discuss that. We'll also talk about the upcoming March Against Monsanto happening here in Toronto May 23rd, but also in other places around the world. Dr. Shiv Chopra is a microbiologist and the author of Corrupt to the Core, Memoirs of a Health Canada Whistleblower, also a keynote speaker at the aforementioned Toronto March Against Monsanto. Back with more. So stay with us. I'm Richard Serrett.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This episode is brought to you by Etsy. Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Now until May 12th, get up to 30% off personalized jewelry, style, decor, and so many other items mom will love. And if you want her to know you put a ton of thought into her present, use Gift Mode. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting so you can easily find well-crafted, original, and affordable pieces from small shops. just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about mom, and Gift Mode instantly gives you curated ideas based on hundreds of personas. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
Guys, we've seen so many people making ridiculous money from crypto. But did you know it's easy for you to do the same? The Copy My Crypto membership site shows you the coins that the YouTuber James McMahon personally holds and allows you to copy him. It's like having a big brother who knows what he's doing. You don't need to know a thing about crypto or how to invest, as you simply do what he does. So let me tell you more about James. He runs the Crypto with James YouTube channel, which, despite heavy censorship, has over 17,000 subscribers and 1 million views. Since March 2020, he's told his viewers to buy 26 crypto coins. Had you put in $100 into each one, it would now be worth over $53,000. Of the 26 coins, his top pick of the year, a coin called Phantom, is currently up over 440 times from when he said to buy. That one call alone has retired a number of people, including guys in their 20s and 30s. Remember, this is public knowledge. You can go to YouTube and verify this for yourself. So, if you'd like to join the 1,300 members who copy James, then stop what you're doing and head over to copymycrypto.com/dollar. copymycrypto.com/dollar. That's D-O-L-L-A-R. You'll not only find proof of everything I've said, but listeners get full access for just $1. You can't find this offer anywhere else, but act fast because the offer ends soon. That's copymycrypto.com/dollar. That's D-O-L-L-A-R. Don't take this offer lightly. He's the real deal. Go visit the site now.
As you know, GetTheTea.com has been a sponsor of my show for quite some time. Their all-natural Life Change Tea, with a unique blend of 12 herbs, has helped many of you to keep your digestive tract clean and healthy. It's so easy. You just brew, steep, refrigerate, and drink. 1 to 2 glasses a day helps keep your insides clean. You shower on a daily basis, right? So why not shower your insides with this delicious herbal made in the USA tea that has helped thousands? GetTheTea.com is not a fad. They've been around for 14 years. It's an essential part of my life. My favorite is the pomegranate tea, and they're giving it to you for $8 off exclusively for my listeners. Why not make it an essential part of your life today? Go to getthetea.com/Richard. That's getthetea.com/Richard and save today. Remember, it's easy. Just brew, steep, refrigerate, and drink. Keep your gut healthy. They also carry an amazing variety of natural herbal supplements. Check them out at getthetea.com.
Dr. Chopra remains with us as we continue to talk about genetically modified organisms. Now, you were employed with Health Canada at one time, were you not?
Yes, I worked there for 35 years.
Okay, so what is going on then with Health Canada and the FDA in the United States? Why are they not protecting us from these products if there are animal studies that show that, for example, these Roundup Ready plants are causing tumors in animals? They should be our, you know, the first line of defense. Why are they allowing these products to be produced?
Well, they have to answer that. Answer in one word is corruption.
Corruption.
The companies are running the show. The companies have taken over. In my book on page 154, I said, Monsanto said they and 5 or 6 other companies, they will take over the White House and the British Parliament and the German Parliament and the French Parliament and the Japanese Parliament. And that's what they have done. That was their manifesto in 1990. That's what has happened.
And the present food czar, named by President Obama in the United States, is a former the director of Monsanto, is he?
Well, I mean, he's gone in and out. It's not just Obama. It happened before Mr. Obama became president. This has been going on for quite some time. And we have it in Canada, too. The Monsanto vice president was sitting inside the Minister of Health's office and taking briefings on me and other people. And so this is the way it is. They are running the show. They sit inside the department. They're not just lobbyists. They are running the show.
Are they helping formulate policy?
Well, they are breaking the law. It's not forming. You know, policy cannot override an existing law. There is a law which is attached to the criminal code. People doing that Whoever lies, they're supposed to go to jail.
Okay. And, well, in order for them to lie, they would have to be sworn. This would be in a hearing-type situation, a congressional hearing, a parliamentary hearing. Are you saying that officials with Monsanto in a congressional or parliamentary hearing have sworn under oath and lied while sworn under oath?
Well, that's what happened in the case of one product, BGH, in Canada. But then that was a Senate investigation. Then our Senate went back to sleep. And nothing has happened here, not in the United States or anywhere else. And interestingly, the European Union does not allow GMOs, although they are allowing pesticides and so on. So there are very, very serious problems all over the world, because the companies are, just to make profit, they're selling these things, which is illegal. So the governments are breaking their own law.
When you go into the grocery store and you're wheeling your cart through the aisles, it's pretty difficult to avoid corn, because corn, whether it's corn syrup or there's byproducts from corn, is an ingredient in many, many, many foods.
Absolutely.
There's corn.
There's sugar that's also coming from beetroot. That's also genetically modified. You cannot avoid. There's no way you can avoid. Because even if the animals are being fed this, even if you say, I'm not going to buy corn myself, but the animals are being fed that corn. All over the place. They're making ethanol from the same thing. The huge changes are occurring. The carbon burning and making ethanol, driving cars, climate change. People are not even realizing how things have become so bad due to this genetic engineering experiment that is going on. Governments have passed the law that by law now 5 to 10 to 20% of your gasoline will have ethanol made from corn, genetically modified. Imagine what's happening to the fields and the soils and the waters of the countries. It's not just direct consumption by people. It's coming upon us from all sides.
If I buy corn, sweet yep. corn, at the local market, is that likely GMO corn?
95% of it, yes.
95%. Do you avoid eating corn?
Yeah, I don't eat corn. I avoid lots of things, but then that's me. Knowing too much becomes a curse. But what do people
I can imagine. Corrupt to the Core, Memoirs of a Health Canada Whistleblower is the book. Give us a few more details, if you could, Dr. Chopra.
People now want, they want to know, what do we do? We've marched, we've sent petitions, we've done all kinds of things, but it's not working. My recommendation to them has been, and is becoming more critical, that don't keep marching against Monsanto. You have to march against US FDA, Health Canada. You have to march against our own government, which is corrupt. Companies cannot do what they're doing. Because the companies, our governments are aiding and abetting companies to do what they're doing. The companies cannot do this.
All right. I should also point out that sort of the theme of this year is called Celebrate Farm to Fork. What is the status of, in the United States, there have been a number of ballot initiatives to demand or require food labeling that would list GMO ingredients. Now, we saw this go down in flames in places like California when a number of companies sort of lined up, and Coca-Cola and Monsanto and Dow and so forth. I believe it has been passed in one state. If I'm not mistaken, it's Vermont. Has
yes.
successfully passed a food labeling requirement. What is the status of such an initiative here in Canada?
Once again, label is required for any product. A label is required to be put on the bag or a bottle, depending upon what the product is, outside, and a larger label description. It's called package insert on the inside. In other words, it has to. The company has to declare all the ingredients, including water. They have to declare that on the label.
But do they have to include a warning that it contains genetically modified organisms?
Well, That's what should be happening, because that's what they have to say. This product contains mercury or aluminum or this virus or that virus, and such could happen and so forth. And the same way, why is it that genetically modified organisms and their products are not labeled? Because it's a requirement of the law.
It is. It is a requirement of the law in
Canada. It is a requirement of the law.
And yet our food, they are not labeling our food as GMO.
They do not put on the label. They did not put on the label of either milk or these things that this contains GMOs, and it with that also come the Roundup of the pesticides and BT and this and that. All that has to be put on the label.
Now excuse me, Dr. Chopra, the rationale for companies like Monsanto, and I believe Dow is also involved in producing GMOs, Dow
yes.
Chemicals. Who brought us Agent Orange. now, their rationale is that we cannot feed the world 7 billion souls and counting. We cannot feed the world using traditional agricultural methods. That's why we need these factory farms, and that's why we need genetically modified crops.
First of all, who told them to do so? We cannot. Who is begging them? We can't compete with China, India, Mexico, and there's so much food in the world. More than 40% of the food is being wasted. And this is a complete lie that they cannot feed the world. So much food is being wasted and then being turned into corn and ethanol and turned into meat and other products. Hormones, antibiotics, slaughterhouse waste, all this is being put into our food supply. All these are illegally present there. So it's not just Monsanto. There's a whole bunch of companies. There's Pfizer, there's Eli Lilly, there's all of these companies, Syngenta, Dow, they're all together. And then, of course, there's slaughterhouses. The whole system is in a complete mess. It's all corruption.
Does genetically modifying a plant increase the yield?
No, they don't. In fact, it becomes less. The only reason it seems to happen is because initially they were given advantage by using the pesticide or herbicide or Roundup, things like that. Because if you leave them alone, the GMO cannot compete against the natural organism. It will die. If allowed to compete with it in natural environment, it will not survive.
What can we learn from Europe? Europe has banned genetically modified organisms.
Europe has banned hormones, antibiotics, slaughterhouse waste, and GMOs. They are also beginning to ban a number of pesticides like neonicotinoids and a few others.
And those are responsible for the killing of bees, I understand.
Yes.
How can we emulate what they're doing in Europe? Why were they successful in Europe to shut it down? What can we learn from them and do it here?
We are at the head of the corrupt system. That's what it is. Because these companies...
There's corruption in Europe, too, though, Dr. Chung.
Well, it's not that kind of corruption that we're talking about. There's corruption in every country, everywhere else. We're talking of corrupting the actual system. And the Europeans went through the same thing as well. And then slowly, they got... That's where they got the mad cow disease. That's where they got the other things. Our cancer rates are skyrocketing. Our healthcare cost is the most expensive in the world. The country will go bankrupt if it keeps on doing what it's doing. So there's a lesson. And the Americans don't live any longer. Whatever factor you look at, the Americans are behind in every possible way. And if these companies, we talk about corruption, these companies, if you look at their names, they were originally from Second World War. They were all German companies. They transplanted themselves into the U.S. now. That's what people say. Your show is called Conspiracy, but when people begin to talk this way, they say, oh, that's conspiracy theory.
So it's these companies are the remnants of Merck Pharmaceuticals, which was torn apart after the war into 1,000 pieces. But these are, it's like the head of a hydra. When you cut it off, you've got 9 heads now. That's what we're dealing with.
That's what we're dealing with. That, and they are here now. We're not talking about Nazi Germany. We're not talking about Hitler time. We're not talking about that, those kinds of wartime things. These are all the DDT and everything else. They all came out. These are war weapons. And they're now being used on daily food.
In the United States, there was an omnibus bill passed a number of years ago, and they snuck in a paragraph buried deep within this bill that I believe would prevent people from, that would protect companies like Monsanto from lawsuits. Do you recall the bill that I'm talking about?
It was, people called it the Monsanto Protection Act.
Yes.
The same thing applies to the vaccines, against Merck and Glaxo and so on. You cannot sue companies. You cannot sue governments. Who the hell are these people passing these laws? Who on whose behalf are they doing this? The country is owned by the people.
And what about what's the status in Canada? Could you launch a class action lawsuit against Monsanto?
It is very simple. No, you don't need to launch a class action. You can if you want to. But I would suggest people, in fact, this has been tried now in the U.S. and with some success. I think people should be suing their government. It is their right to know. It is their right to make sure that the law is observed by the authorities. That's the simplest way to go at it, and it's not costly. You just say, this law exists. Why is the U.S. FDA not applying it, or Health Canada not applying it? Go to the Supreme Court and demand the labeling be done, not request, but demand. I want to know what's in my food.
If nothing changes in North America, give me let's project into the future 10, 20 years. What is the food industry, the state of agriculture, going to look like in North America if Monsanto and Dow and Pfizer and these other companies are allowed to pursue their aim of genetically modified organisms?
Much of our food is being imported now from third world countries, and that's going to get worse. If we, in fact, clean up our act, we will create employment, we will improve our health, we will would reverse the system. What these companies are now doing, they are now descending into China and India and Brazil and Argentina. They want to just repeat the same process over there. But this is not going to work. It's not working. And so, extra food, what are people going to do with it?
All right. And I really appreciate your time tonight. Thank you very much, Dr. Chopra.
Thank you.
A new Richard Serrett's Strange Planet drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Subscribe at StrangePlanetPodcast.com.